these things in your holy name. Amen. Y'all can take a seat.
How is everybody again this morning? There we go. That's better. How about that full band today, huh? There we go. So if you ever join us live, you see we're having a good time. We're growing. God is faithful. God is faithful. And man, what a great day. So if you're going to let me get situated here, I'm going to have some crowd participation. As you got to see, we're starting a brand new series over these next few weeks. And we just had the Pledge of Allegiance. And nobody got crazy. That was great. That was a fun thing, right? So let me ask you this. How many folks in the house like elections or know that there's an election coming up? Okay, 5. That's awesome. I'm glad we vote in here. This is going to be great. It's going to be a great, great day. So I'm trying to get some crowd participation here. So how many folks like the drama of elections? Like you like the debates? Like you like kind of where it's at? No one, so I guess I'm the only one that likes that one too. Wow, tough crowd. So, outside of that then, if you don't like the drama of election, how many folks even know who the candidates are coming up? Some. I hear some. I know there was a buzzsaw at some point. Maybe we'll get hit on that, but that's not. Sorry, family knows. That's a good one. There was something at some point there. You know some of the candidates. So let me ask you this then. Let me ask you this because I do want full 100% participation. Who here believes the church should be involved in politics? I see a couple folks. All right. I'm going to prepare you. If I haven't offended you yet, there may be a moment that I do today. So get ready if I haven't done it already, okay? So here's my question then on top of that is this. Who here knows that you don't go to Washington, D.C. or Columbia, South Carolina when you die? This should be real easy. Okay, I think we got close to 100% that knows that that's happening. So here's what I get before I get into the Word and before I dive in. I think that it's really awesome that we're spending these next few weeks because we got Independence Day coming up, right? Like, we're about to celebrate with some fireworks, some boom boom, some barbecue, some really good times and some really fun here over the next few weeks is what we're about to have. Summer just kicked off this past week, so I think it's perfect that we're about to talk about church and politics and this thing called under God because it can get really crazy. It can get really crazy, right? Like, I will tell you this, as I've heard that church should be involved in politics, and I've heard some folks like the drama of the elections. I don't like it till the end. I like voting. I think that is something that's awesome. I like seeing it at the end when they have debates. Or here recently, if you have social media, people can get on and have storms and beat up each other on there. But I just think that it's something that when we talk about the issues, it's a big thing. But here's the one thing I want to tell you. In my many years, in my 80 years, I'm just kidding. You know I'm not that old. In my years of pastoring, I've never been to a funeral, a house, a graduation, a birthday party, a celebration, a wedding where someone has asked me to read them the preamble to the Constitution or what the Article 2 of the Constitution says or what the preamble to the Declaration of Independence is. I've never had that. And yet, so many times it's easy for us to say that our politics aren't influenced by our faith. We say there's no conflicts there, right? Like, how many folks would say they have conflicts with their faith and politics? Would you say your faith and politics are the same? Let me ask it that way. How many folks would say your faith and your politics are the same? Awesome. 100% zero. So that being said, I might offend you here, but I'm just going to be real with you because I think that we have to understand as we go in this political season, but also as the church, because listen, I think that there's no time more than ever that we've seen politics be so polarized. Our country is so polarized. Is it not? Like, it's you pick a side and I'll pick a side and then we're going to fight about it. Is that not how it is for real? Like, Like middle school, high school, like I think of it, it's like an elementary school field day where you have like, okay, I was the fat kid growing up. Like you were the fat kid that was on the tug of war team, right? Like you just had that. You pick a side and I pick a side and we're just going to fight it out. And it's going to stay in the middle until somebody gives up. And then we're going to move on to the next thing. And then we'll pick two camps and we're not going to talk about it. We're just going to beat each other up on social media. Like I think that that's kind of the world we're in today. And as the church, we play a role in that and we play a place in that. And who we are as we're talking about this series under God and we're playing off of this thing, the Pledge of Allegiance. So if I haven't offended you yet, maybe you're watching online, I'm going to ask you to have an open heart. Because here's the thing. Whether you follow Jesus for 2 years, 2 minutes, 20 years, or you don't really care who he is, I believe we're going to have common ground here as we go through this, okay? So if we think that our faith and our politics don't come in conflict with each other, I would tell you that Republicans would say that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. He was right in everything he did. Like they would say that, hey, Jesus was to the right. See what I did there? Like Jesus is to the right, so therefore Jesus was Republican. The Democrats in the room would say, whoa, 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 time out, time out. Jesus was all about free health care. Like, people lined up for him to heal them when they were sick. He gave free food away. He was all about being to the left. And it says after he fed the 5,000 that there were 12 baskets left over, right? So our faith and our politics would say that. And if I hadn't got you yet and I haven't touched you yet, maybe you're a libertarian in the room and you would say this, that it says in the Bible that ye shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So therefore, if you're a libertarian in the room, I'm getting close. Did anybody have government going up in class? Did you not know those signs? Maybe you did. Maybe you did. It's okay if you didn't. I'm sure that I touched maybe all of our areas. And here's the thing that I want to tell you. I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't have an opinion. I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't vote, because we live in the best country in the world, the most free country in the world where we get to vote. What I'm saying is if your faith and your politics go hand in hand, there might be an issue. Because I'm willing to bet, because what Jesus has been teaching me a lot of times is sometimes my politics shape my faith instead of my faith shaping my politics. If I can sit down at the table and talk politics all the time, but I can't sit down at the table and talk Jesus, man, there's something going on in me. There's something wrong with me. There's something completely missing. There's something not clicking. Because I can go into the Bible and I've heard it said, like, and I can't think of any time more than presence. I've been planning this series for a minute, and I saw over the past week, we saw, you know, what's going on with immigration and how folks pull Bible verses out of context. I don't know if anybody was aware of that, but I think that both sides can do that, and even that third side, that libertarian side, can pull the Bible out of context to try to make it shape your politics, right? To make it sound like my faith says that my politics are right. And today I just want you to look at everything through the lens of faith, not through the lens of your politics. Because you do have a right to an opinion. And I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you that coming up in November, actually we just had primaries, I think, this week in a lot of our state, you know, in our state government. We had some primaries coming up for some of our Senate seats, our House seats. We've got some more coming up. I think they're challenging each other and we're about to step into debate season. And if you enjoy that, awesome. If you don't, that's okay. Please make sure that you vote in November, because you do have a right to an opinion. So that being said, this series, what this has to do with this whole series is this. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't have an opinion. You always should, or you shouldn't support a candidate. What I am suggesting, as I've said through this, is that your faith should always be greater than your politics. And what better way to look at faith and politics than through the Pledge of Allegiance? Like, we saw it at the beginning, and I might need some help here, some more crowd participation. It says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I don't know if anybody remembered. I don't know if they do that in school anymore. I think they do. I'm pretty sure they do. I hope they do. If you know the Pledge of Allegiance, you're going to know where we're going in this series, because in week one of this series, we're going to talk about this thing called one nation. And if I haven't already told you and you haven't been offended yet, there's probably going to be some controversial things I'm going to say. And that's okay. It's okay. It's through the lens of faith. I'm not trying to start a riot. I'm not trying to start a rebellion. I'm just trying to be Jesus and point everyone to Jesus. And I will tell you, when he came, he would never came to be a political figure. He came to take over. And I think that's where we get messed up sometimes. We think Jesus came to pick a side. He never came to pick a side. He came to take over. He came to rule over sin and death and the grave so that we can have life and have it to the full. So if we go through that lens first, our politics are going to be really easy. So Here's what I got for all of this. I want you to know this as I go, if people haven't clicked off yet, is this. I want to honor those who have fought for us, who have served for our country over these next few weeks. I'm not trying to go against that. I still believe that we live in the greatest nation in the world. I have a brother named Benjamin, Olivia and I do, and he's fought in the military. He's been in the army. He's served in multiple conflicts. I'm sure most of us have family members who have fought in some way, shape, or form for our freedom, right? Like, that's something that we hold true. Like, we think that's awesome. We're the land of the free, home of the brave. We can have unlimited opportunities here. We can have as many kids as we want to. We cannot have kids if we don't want to. We can start a business. We can worship freely on Sunday and not worried about getting dragged off, beaten, tarred, feathered, have an underground church. We can set up a stage on Sunday, have a full band, have great worship service, and not worry about somebody beating down the door or burning down the building. We can have an awesome time here in our country. But here's what I want to tell you, and this is where it can get really, really... America's not the promised land. America's not God's one and only favorite nation. Now, it's a tough pill to swallow, because as you paid taxes not too long ago, you probably felt like it, right? Death and taxes as we grew up. Like, are you kidding me? Like all of a sudden this strong, beautiful, powerful nation isn't God's favorite, and it's not. I'm not saying that God's not blessing us. I'm not saying that God doesn't have his hand on us, but there's something greater that God's after than just the United States of America. And as Jesus followers, where we can get stuck and where it can be hard for us is we can fight so hard for freedom of speech but miss out on sharing the freedom of the hope of the gospel. And I don't know about you, but that's something that really bothers me. Because we do have a right to an opinion. We do have the right to disagree. But if we don't have the right to share the freedom and the hope that is Jesus, and we aren't doing that with everyone around us by how we live and how we love, then what are we doing? Because whether we're in the United States, whether we're in Spartanburg, South Carolina, we've got some folks that were here last week, they're traveling, they're in Cincinnati, Ohio, they're missionaries, they're trying to reach people around the world. Maybe you live in the Middle East. Today, I'm going to start in 1 Peter 2, and then we're going to be in Ephesians 1. So if you don't have your Bible or you're looking for something crazy, something new we've been trying over these past few weeks, you have to bear with me. I'm a little under the weather, so if my voice cracks, I promise I'm not singing later. You'll be good. Make sure you get your Bible app out, and if you'll go to More, and you're in the house today on Sunday, in your Bible app, you'll see the Vine worship service is live. Make sure you put your location services on. And you'll be able to have all the scripture right there for you. So maybe you can't find it in your Bible, or maybe we flip through a lot, but you can actually take your own personal notes. You can share your notes. You can do a lot of cool things. So maybe you're watching us online and you're trying to keep up with us and you don't have a Bible of your own. Please let us know. We would love to give you a Bible for free. But maybe that's where you are. So check out the Bible app. We also have our greenhouse gathering on there, a way that you can contact us. As David was sharing with us earlier, awesomely during the welcome, is that we meet each and every Thursday night. We make space where we can go to a place to grow in the Lord. And if you'll look on there, you'll see that we have that on our event page on the Bible app. So make sure you check that out if you're watching online or you're here in the house and you don't want to keep up. So if you've got your Bible, 1 Peter 2, verse 9 through 10 talks about this as we kick off this Under God series. It's going to pop up on the screen, or maybe you can watch it. You know, like I said, thumb there in your Bible or get there on the Bible app. And this is the guy that followed Jesus. This is the guy that walked on water. This is the guy that was the fisherman. This is the common guy that denied Jesus, was restored back to Jesus, was a father of the modern church, you know, helped do that, him, and then it led up to Paul as the other guy we're going to hear from today. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to be in 2 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. And it says this, I'm just going to put all my cards on the table. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy, help me out there, what does that say? Nation. One nation. Here we go. You are a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. So once you were not a people, we're not talking about aliens here. Don't get excited if that's your thing. Like, we're not talking about UFOs. We're saying that once you didn't have a home, but in Christ you have a home. Once you were wandering, but in Christ you were found. Once you were lost, and then you were found. Once you were dead, but now you are alive in Christ. Peter's saying here, right here, once you were not a people, you were not together. We've talked about the nation of Israel before, how they've been spread all over the world, but yet they kept their culture and their customs, and God's restoring that, and that's part of the end times. If you've ever read Revelation, or if you want to go in the Old Testament and read Ezekiel, it talks about how one nation and one people, but you see, Jesus didn't die just for the Jews. He died for us all. He died so that everyone could have life and have it to the full. And what I want to tell you is it says, hey, you are not just, I want to make sure I say this right too. You were not part of the British colonies. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that now you have declared your independence, so now you are the United States of America. It says, no, you were one as people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So is everybody ready to dive in with me? As I hit up some stuff to make sure I don't scream too loud and keep my voice through this thing. All right. So if you can't see where we're going today, I'm putting my cards on the table. If you're taking notes, I'm going to go ahead and give you the answers to the test before the test, okay? You ready? It's in verse 9. We're going to talk about being a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. We're going to talk about who we are. And I want to say it this way as we go through. I'm a child of Christ first and an American second. I love this country. But I want to make sure we know each and every week, where our faith is found and where our freedom is found. So Ephesians 1 says this. If you're following on, we're going to start in verse 3. Sorry, that was really loud there. Excuse me. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord, to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about, like, you're in this time and you struggle with it and you think, man, like, what in the world is happening? But there is someone who knew you before you were born. And you know, when I think of a mother's love, that's what a mother has, you know. Like, they know the child, they sing the child, they see this child, and they know this child before it's even born, and everybody else gets to see it, right? But there was somebody who knew it before then. The very creator of the universe knew you. He knew you. And I think Paul's doing that on purpose. It's really crazy because it talks about how Paul wasn't a great speaker. He says in his time that he was great at writing letters, and the guy who wrote about 70% of the New Testament standing here. I mean, it's really crazy. We know that over half of it, at least, he has written, and all of a sudden he ends this. And I think that, I don't know if you remember, like, does anybody remember, is anybody here an English literature freak, or you're a nerd, you like poems, you like poetry, like they had the rhythm and cadence of poetry, you know, like, you would have that in and out. Haiku, nothing. Ugh. Next series, I know what we're talking about. So, like, I think of this cadence and this rhythm, and it talks about, hey, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love. In love. Like, if it just ended there, that would be it. It would have enough. In love. But he continues on to say this. It says this. In love, he predestined. Don't be afraid from that word. I'm not going to be a five-point Calvinist. I'm not going to stand up here and give you tulip, even though I could. You'd be excited if you follow that. That's okay. Predestined just means he knew beforehand. He knows beforehand about us, just like it says he knew us before the creation of the world. It just means beforehand. He ordained these steps. It says he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will. His pleasure and his will. So this first point I just want to put out here, as we're talking about being one nation, is I just want to remind us of this. You are chosen by God, not elected by man. You are chosen by God, not elected by man. And so much in this culture, we care about elections, right? Like, we care about the elect. We care about who got there. Like, it starts in school. Like, you have school superlatives. You have class president, vice president, person over ribbons and cotillions, and person over streamers. Like, I don't know if they have everything like that. You have captains, and I think of all these things. You know, you have all these things that happen in the world, and we care so much about being elected by men, but we forget we're chosen by God. And as we go into the election season, that's where we can get stuck. It's all about the election, right? So let me ask you this. After the last election and everybody who were talking about packing up and leaving the country and how we were all going to hell in a handbasket and how the world was ended, did it end? No. God still reigns. God was here long before the United States of America was here. Heck, he was reigning on his throne before each and every one of us were born. And guess what? He's still going to be reigning in the end. But yet so many times where we can get stuck is we worry so much what man thinks that we forget we are chosen by God. Chosen. Not begrudgingly, not the last pick on the kickball team, not the person that you hope doesn't show up to the team, not the person that only gets to play once in a while, not that. Like, you are chosen by God. Yet I wonder how many times we share that. For me personally, that's where God's been wrecking me, is like, hey, at election season, ooh, I'm so giddy, it's fun. Have you seen this person? Like, for real, I'll be honest, there have been some political ads that crack me up. I love it. Like, it's so funny. It looks like an 80s sitcom. Like, I'm wondering who shot JR. Like, it's that bad. It's awesome. But yet, I wonder, do I get as excited about that to share with someone else that I'm chosen by God, that they are chosen, that this entire book, this thing called the Bible, from front to back is about a God who is mighty, who is merciful, who loves us enough that he wants to reconcile us back to him. And he made a way through his son, Jesus Christ, so that we would not be dead, the very thing he created. We could have life and spend eternity in him. But instead, I wonder about who's going to be at the polls in the first week of November. I wonder how my taxes are going to be affected. I wonder how much my paycheck's going to be affected. I wonder how much and how crazy that person is. I look at that person's hair and I laugh too much, right? Or that person's lack of hair and I laugh at that. Or I look at that person's lack of character, but it makes me think, how many times would I be willing to share that we are chosen people? A chosen people. We just reclaimed the table over the past 30 days. Would we share that we're chosen by God? Because in the end, what if my child, what if your child, what if your brother, what if your sister, what if your cousin, got to be in the South because that's how it goes, your second and your third cousin by your mom and them, like all that. What if they were called to go around the world to share the hope of the gospel? So this talk about being American doesn't matter. Christ matters. And we're chosen by him. So I wonder if we would trust God that we are who he says we are. Would we know that we are an ambassador? So I ask about English. So I'm gonna assume that, does anybody here remember or know what an ambassador is? Yay, we got some folks. This is awesome. Like the UN, you know, like up in New York, they have ambassadors. Our own governor, Nikki Haley, is the ambassador, right, for us to the UN. We have ambassadors across the world. You know, an ambassador is the highest ranking official in a peace negotiation. Think about that. An ambassador is the highest ranking official in a peace. So hang on. What is it that Jesus said that he brings to the world? Peace. So we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of him. We are a chosen people to bring peace to the world by pointing others to him. Like, would we trust that we're, like, not the lowest of the low, not the lowest rung. Like, I can't get up here and do what they do at worship, so I can't think I'm any less than anyone else. And they can say, hey, I can't dance like Tyler. Great, Tyler can't dance either. But that being said, like, maybe there's a moment in time where we think that we have to be something greater. And I want to tell you, you're already great enough. You're already good enough. There's a Father in heaven that loves you, that sent the only thing he could send, that died for you, gave you life. You're a chosen people. You're a royal ambassador. The world is searching for what you have. It's searching to know that someone cares, to know that it is a people that is lost and can be reconciled back to them. But so many times, hey man, did you catch that football game yesterday? Did you see how it went? Go Noles, by the way. Like, did you see how it went? You know, I wonder if my first question to people would be this. And this is bold, but I'm just going to ask you this. This is what something Jesus has been rocking me with. Hey, man, let me talk to you about a relationship with Jesus. Let's go ahead and get that scheduled and just walk on. Now, you may think that's up front. That's what Jesus is working in me. I'm not telling you he's working that in you, but what if somebody said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus who's the Savior of the world. Let's go ahead and get that scheduled. What if that happened? Now, sometimes I can be too bold because I'm definitely going to talk to you about it, but it may not be the first thing I talk to you about. So I wonder if it's not the first thing, if I just keep delaying it by making an excuse, and then I just keep complaining about it. And then eventually I tell you about Jesus. And then if I complain about it all the time, I wonder if you really want this Jesus, because you're like, this dude's miserable. What the heck's going on with him? Like, I don't want what he's got. Are you kidding me? Like, nothing seems perfect in his life. Nothing seems right in his life. Why in the world would I have what he's got? But man, if I start off with it and say, hey, I ain't perfect. I ain't got it all together. But let me tell you about this guy, Jesus. Let me tell you about this man, Jesus. Let me tell you about the Son of God. I wonder if I could be an ambassador to the world to show the peace of Jesus there. Last thing I will have on this before I beat a point dead and ask you for another reference that you may not know or ask you for a definition or poems or any of those things. I wonder if we forget that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us when we are ambassadors. You know, as we're growing up, some of the things that's really weird, we talk about the Father and Son a lot, but that Holy Spirit thing is kind of weird, right? Like, it's something that's really weird. It's something we don't know a lot about. It can get really scary. Like, we talk about those things. But one of the references of the Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when the Spirit of God would fall on the people, the first thing they would do is anoint them, right? Like, David, we've talked about him. He's been anointed with oil. Like, you know, the Spirit was talked about that. So when the Spirit of God was on someone, they were anointed, like, with oil. And so we lose the reference on that because we think we're fighting for oil all the time and it affects our gas prices and we're thinking about how oil affects all these other things. But in Old Testament times, oil was so valuable. Like, I want you to think about this. What do you think they used oil for a lot of times in the Old Testament? To light a lamp, maybe? Use it to light a lamp, right? So I wonder if this oil that's inside of us, that is the Holy Spirit, is the very thing that fuels the light in the darkest of dark that is us. As we get to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we get to be ambassadors of light, and we forget that the Holy Spirit's inside of us, shining bright like oil, like jacked up oil, like turkey fry jacked up oil, like you're shining in the craziest, darkest place. I wonder if we would believe that. Going on, as we've talked about chosen, we're good with being chosen. Good. You didn't hear it in the room. There was ruckus of applause. Ephesians 1, verse 6 through 10 says this, if you're following along. We'll keep going because I don't want to keep you here all day, even though I'd love to. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one, he's talking about Jesus here, he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week as we talk about under God. That's the next thing in the Pledge of Allegiance. Remember that. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery. The mystery. Here's what's really crazy. We hear about that. That can get really crazy, right? So the mystery. The mystery. Paul talks about the mystery being revealed that was hidden by God for ages. The mystery that Jesus came to die for all. The mystery that Jesus was the Savior of the world. The mystery that God's chosen people weren't just the Jews. God wanted to come after all of us. He wanted to reconcile his entire creation back to him. But so many times in that time, they didn't know that. They thought there was only one holy people. They were religious. And they were Sadducees or Pharisees. And they had to be Jewish. It was the way it went, right? Like they were the only ones. But he said he made known to us the mystery of his will. If you're ever in Ephesians, we're going to dive into it a little bit later. Ephesians 3 talks about that mystery. It's really great if you ever dive into that. The mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. This is my favorite part. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Excuse me. You know, our culture is all about you, right? Or me, I guess. It's all about me, right? In our culture, that's the world we live in, right? How many followers do I have? How many retweets do I have? How many things do I have? How many cars do I have? How many planes do I have? Like, how many things do I have, right? It's all about you. And what's really crazy, before we get to this next point, is this. I wonder if you would trust the world isn't about you. Could you believe that? Would you believe that? That's the hardest thing for me sometimes, because I think about how everything affects me. It's really hard. You mean the world doesn't revolve around me? Like, right? Like, sometimes that's hard, right? But what if I told you the world isn't about you? What if I, in shock and awe, told you that this book from beginning to end wasn't really about you? It was about a mighty and powerful God reconciling his creation back to himself, so he made a way, so it not only affected you, but everything in his creation. Everything. Everything in his creation, to bring it back to him. But yet, so many times, all we think about is us. We think about how many, as it comes into election, like, what is the underlying motive? Like, yes, God shows us his love and enriching mercy, but it says his glory is why all things exist from beginning to end. He promises us. If you go in the Old Testament and you were to go in the books of Isaiah, you'll see how Isaiah the prophet's talking about Israel coming back, and God says, I will reconcile this stiff-necked people for my glory, not for them. Like, if you look at the nation of Israel, they did terrible with blessings. Sound familiar? But through struggle, they came through. Like, they were great in struggle. Like, whenever it seems like things are just all, the world is against them, undefeated World War champs, right? Like, when the world is against them, they come together. They did terrible with blessings. And here's the thing. From beginning to end, because of that, I wonder if we would trust that, hey, this whole thing isn't about me. It's about God getting the glory. So it's not about who I elect. It's not about what I think. It's not about even being right on a point of a stance on life or a stance on taxes or a stance on help. It's more important that we share the freedom that is the hope that is Jesus Christ. But I wonder if we just make it about us. So the second point that I want you to know is this. You are royal, not common. We're going to have Lord come up here in a little bit and sing this. I'm just kidding. We're not going to have that. You are royal, not common. Now, you aren't royal because of how good you are. You're royal because of how great he is. I wonder if you trust that. You know, because it's really easy for me to want to get in touch with God and think that I have to show him my love more to receive his blessing more. Does anybody get caught in that trap? Am I the only one? I'm just kidding. It's all right if I'm not. We think that we have to love God more to receive his blessing more, right? Like, if I do more good, then God's going to love me more. He already loves you enough. He's made you royal. He's clothed you in a royal robe. Through Christ Jesus, you are the one that's royal. You're common. There's nothing that's common about you. And yet, oftentimes, our only power that we think is in who we elect. It's in who we put in leadership. Because they're a leader. Come on, man. All of us have the same power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. You know, if you've ever read about Martin Luther, does anybody know who I'm talking about? Not Martin Luther King Jr., who's awesome, but Martin Luther, on October 31st, it's going to be 501 years this year. Last year we celebrated the 500-year anniversary of him starting the Protestant Reformation, if you've ever read about that, where he went and he attacked corruption in the church, and he went after corruption inside the Catholic Church, and he's got a cool, awesome, amazing story. It blows my mind when he talks about the grace and mercy of God and how he came to start this thing called the Protestant Reformation. As a matter of fact, if you have a Bible today in your language, it is a complete byproduct of Martin Luther posting those things on the door. They call it the knock heard around the world. Okay, there's my nerdy side, if it hadn't been out all day. The knock heard around the world. One of the things that he wanted to make sure that we knew, and he tried to start, it didn't catch on. It didn't. But maybe it'll catch on now. As he called us all a priesthood of all believers. Now you say, you just said a Protestant guy. That sounds very Catholic. I don't know what's going on. I heard priest. I don't know what's happening. No. He started this thing called a priesthood of all believers. And what he was trying to tell us is that all of us are royal, like we talked about in 1 Peter. He was going off of 1 Peter 2. Like, we are all royal priests. So here's the thing that I would tell you in this that made me laugh even more. that wasn't known Thursday night, but we laughed about it at Greenhouse Gathering. So when it comes time for the meal and the preacher is in the room, who prays for the meal? The preacher, for some ungodly reason, right? Like, he's the one that's got to pray. Like, my prayer is going to be heard more than yours. Trust me, if it was, it would be completely different. Yeah, so many times, isn't that how we treat life? You know, I told you, I've never been to a hospital room where all of a sudden somebody says, could you just read We the People of the United States? No. They're not. They just had surgery. They don't care. They're actually probably wigging out on something. They're not talking to me about that. And if they do, I will say, God's got a long way to go with me in ministry. And if that's you and you do that, awesome. Because I'll go back to this and say I was totally wrong. But I've never had that so far in my life. But yet, so many times the power that we invest in people, we think has to do and how great and how much better they are than us. They're our elected official. They're the leadership of things. And so as a pastor prays over a meal, his prayer must be heard more than mine. I just want to tell you, we're both heard just the same. As a matter of fact, your prayer is just as powerful and effective as mine. James 5:16 talks about us coming together and how we confess our sins together, coming together, how the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Each and every one of us have the Holy Spirit inside of us. I'm not more connected to God than you. It isn't like God gave me like his second number. You know what I mean? Like that number you don't share with everybody else. Like one of them's your Google number and one of them's your real number. You know what I mean? Like one of those things. Like, or back in the day, like your beeper or your pager. I don't know if anybody remembers those back in the day. Like, you know, somebody had your page number. You got to go to the payphone. I don't know if you remember those days, right? I'm that old. I'm just saying. It is what it is. So, and you had to figure out numbers and it meant a message. Just putting that out there. One of those things, right? Right? I didn't have one. I just had cool friends who did. I didn't. So, that being said, maybe that was it. Maybe you could figure those out. But you think that because I'm a pastor that I have more of a direct line. And here's what I want to tell you. I don't. The reason that I may be with you through a crazy circumstance and through trial is because we're going to walk through this together. Not because my prayer is more powerful, not because it's going to be heard any greater. It's because God made us to do life together. And the difference is you can pray and God can hear your prayer just as much as mine is. So this is why a lot of times when you ask me to pray, I'm probably going to bounce it back to you. Don't be upset with me. Over these next few weeks, you may hear that. When you say, Tyler, will you pray for us? I'm going to say, awesome, what do you want to tell Jesus? And we'll bow our head and pray. It's crazy, isn't it? I know, it's a crazy guy. So that being said, I just want you to be reminded you are royal, not common. I'm going to keep going here because I'm going to keep you here past lunch and y'all might start rioting or revolting. Ephesians 1, verse 11 through 14 says this. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything. There's a lot of good words in here. I hope y'all did your SAT words. Works out everything in conformity with a purpose of his will, in order that we, who were first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Remember, it's not about you. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Isn't that great? How many of us remember the deposit and guarantee, right? It's a country song somewhere in there that talks about a deposit and a guarantee, right? Kenny Chesney. Come on, guys. So, a deposit and guarantee. How many of you can be guaranteed? Oh, man, the whole worship team. I'm so old. Everybody just looked at me. That's awesome. So, like, the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance and to the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. As we've said all the way through, this last point is you represent Christ, not yourself. I wonder if you would believe that. You represent Christ, not yourself. Because here's where we can stand. So many times, we can think we represent ourselves. You know, one of the things, even though I tell a lot of jokes and I do some crazy things, I know, I've always heard, and it's not the truth. Anybody who knows me knows that it ain't always perfect and it ain't always true. I wish I could tell you it was always perfect and it was always true. Is they would say, Tyler, you carry yourself well. Do I? I know I'm losing some weight, so maybe I am. I don't know, like, carry myself well. What does that mean? Like, I've been trying to jog, you know what I mean? Like, they said, that's my jog. I'm watching TV, right? Like, I'm trying to carry myself well, right? But so many times when I do that, I'm representing myself, not Christ. And instead of somebody saying, Tyler, you represent or you carry yourself well, I wonder if I would trust enough. I wonder if I would trust enough that people say, man, there's just something different about you. Tell me about that. What's going on that's different? I'm not talking weird, like I'm going to call the cops different. I'm talking about there's just something you have that I got to find out more about. I wonder if we would do that every day, even in this election season, even as we have school season that's taking a break, even as we go into work, would we know that we represent Christ? So my question is, am I proud to be American? Yes. Lee Greenwood, come on. We're all going to be blaring it at the barbecue next week. And if you don't know, you do know, because when you hear it, you'll go crazy, because that's what happens. Am I proud to be an American? Yes. But I'm proud to be a child of Christ first. Because my freedom in America, my Bill of Rights, is awesome. That can come and go tomorrow, because God may call me to a country that doesn't have freedom of speech. But my freedom in Christ will not end. It will not fade. It will not stop. Because I know he is who he says he is. And so as we go in this election season, as we say this Pledge of Allegiance, going into so many seasons and so many sporting events and so many concerts and so many things, we say this Pledge of Allegiance, but we don't really think about living it out. Under God, one nation, under God. So, my quote of the day would be to remind you that Jesus will know us by how we love, not how we vote. The world will know us by how we love, not how we vote, because of Jesus in us. The way we show love is how we live every day. So the world's going to know Jesus not by how we vote, because that's going well. right? Just block social media for a hot minute. The world's going to know us by how we live and how we love. And they're going to know Jesus because of that. So, I just want to remind us that we are not our own. We are bought with a price. If you ever have learned or study that, go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 7. And Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. He's got a really cool story, too. If you don't know about this guy named Paul, he was once Saul. I know, it's really weird. He changed his name. It's a cool story. We'll share it with you one day. But he changed his name. And it says that he knows that God brought him from his story so that everyone know that it wasn't too far gone to be saved. So maybe you're sitting here, and we're going to wrap up here in just a little bit, but maybe you're sitting here and you think, man, if God knows my sin and God knows everything and he predestined and preordained and he knows everything about me and he knows my sin, there's no way he could save me. Let me tell you this. There are some murderers in the Bible. There are some adulterers. There are some people who stole. He saved them all. He made a way for them all by Jesus being here. And even in the Old Testament, where these guys, David, a man's after God's own heart, was an adulterer. And he murdered the guy. Like, I don't know how many of you have been here, but I don't know if that's on your resume. If it is, let's talk. That's awesome. But like, I don't know anybody in here whose resume is, I slept with his wife and I killed him. As the pen drops, because that's none of us, right? But yet, God still made a way for them to be saved. And Saul was this guy who went around killing people who put Jesus first, who shared Jesus with the world. And he killed them just because they shared Jesus with the world. And all of a sudden, he has this conversion to Paul. And he is where we, as non-Jewish people, get to hear the word of God today. Because he was the mouthpiece to the Gentiles. God used him. And he says that God used him so that we could know that there was no sin that was unforgivable. Because he went down that road persecuting and killing people. So, I don't know about you. You may want to persecute and kill people at the red light or people who jump in line at lunch today or they get a table before you. But I doubt you're going to do it, right? Like, I doubt you're going to do it. If so, I'll see you this week in the cell. We'll talk. Just don't ask me to read the preamble to the Constitution, right? Like, it'll be something like that, right? But this guy named Paul has a really cool story. And he just wants you to know that you were bought at a price and there's nothing regular about you. So here's the last thing I want to tell you. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, just to be reminded one more time. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I love this part. God's special possession. You ever just felt special? We mess that term up a lot today, but have you ever just felt special? Like when you feel special with someone, isn't that usually something that's great? Like a lot of married couples, I would hope you feel special together. Like that would be a big deal. If you don't, then let's walk through that. Maybe you're searching for that special. You can find it in Christ. You find it in Christ. And then he brings someone along that has Christ as well. And all of a sudden, man, it just changes everything. But why are we his special possession? So that we may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Remember that oil, that Holy Spirit that is inside of us, into his wonderful light. So before we go on, the question may be, hey, isn't the world darker today than it's ever been? Does anybody think that? The world's darker today than it's ever been, right? Just means the light gets to shine brighter in you and I. Hey, that's the cool part of it. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So in the end, just a reminder, God was on the throne long before the election that's upcoming. God was on the throne before the election in the past. God will still be on the throne two elections down the road. God will be on the throne through whatever we walk through and everything that we do. But we're not just Americans. We're ambassadors of the Most High God. Remember, we are not here to defend freedom of speech. We are here to share the freedom of the gospel with the world. We are a chosen people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood passing through this earth, bound toward our heavenly home. So today, hopefully you've got some practical steps. Realistically, the most practical step I would give you to be one nation is to be reminded of this, church. We are meant to be a picture of the future that is to come. We are meant to be a picture of the future that is to come. We are the people that are supposed to have hope in the midst of no hope. We are the people that in the midst of trial are supposed to have peace. We are the people that can tell people the election doesn't matter. Doesn't mean that you can't vote. Please, dear, vote. That's your God. That's where you are. That's people fought and died for you to have the freedom to vote. But more importantly, you have the freedom to have hope in the hopelessness of this world. You have freedom to have light in the darkness of this world. That's only found through Christ Jesus. And when the world looks at us in the church, and where we've got it wrong so long is we care about what political candidate comes up and gets endorsed by this mega church or this church of thousands, right? Like we care about, well, that church went after them. That convention went after them. And in the end, who cares? Because there's going to be another election 2 years from now. There's going to be another election 4 years from now. Where there won't be an election is Jesus Christ came to take over. Jesus Christ came and died for you to be set free. Jesus Christ came so that each and every one of us could have life and have it to the full. And if we can't share that with the world and we can't be a picture of the future of the world, then we're wasting the opportunity that Jesus preordained for us to be here to do. And that's share the hope that only he can give. So when the world looks at us, church, when we are one nation, they shouldn't see that we're Americans first. They should see that we're Christ followers first. They should see that we're Christians first. They should see that we have the hope of Jesus first. So I'm about to pray, and we're going to set up, and we're going to have this last song, but I just want to ask you to think about that next step. Where in your next step can you show the world that you're a picture of the future? That you're a picture of the hope of Jesus, that you're a picture of what is yet to come. You're a picture of all that Christ is. You're a picture not of the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Third Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the preamble, Article 2. You're not a picture of that. You're a picture of Christ. And maybe today he'll challenge you at lunch to be a picture of Christ. When that person breaks in front of you, you've got peace in the middle of the storm. When that person cuts you off in the car, you've got peace in the middle of the storm. Maybe, I'll be honest with you, maybe you're suffering through some crazy trials that nobody knows about. And the peace you have is you'll share it with us today. Maybe you're watching online or you would like to talk to us at the garden after the service. But maybe that's where you are. So as the worship team gets set up here and gets ready to get us rocking and rolling and get us in this mode of worship, I want us, church, in this last song to be a picture of the future to come. So I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to get at it. So, dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to lift your name high. Thank you that we get to be a picture of the future for you. Dear Lord, remind us that we are a nation, not just Americans. We are a nation of Christians, of Christ followers, that get to be your light to the world. So many times, God, we can get stuck in our circumstance, stuck in our pride, stuck in and maybe not feeling like we're good enough or feeling like we're common. Or maybe we just don't feel like we're a royal priesthood. But Jesus, you died so that we can be free. So as we get ready to worship, we get ready to celebrate, we set up Jesus. We know that if you're not in this house today, what we're doing today is trying to be American first, not Christian first. So today, Jesus, we put you first. We ask that you would reveal to us what only you can reveal, that our hearts would be open, and that our ears would hear what you would have for us to do. We love you, Lord, and it's your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing this.
All right. Just like that song said, there's nothing we could do to ever earn the grace and mercy of God. The only thing that we could do is just receive Jesus is who he says he is. You see, Ephesians 1, verse 7, if we get that up here in just a second, talks about that. You know, we talked about it today as we go along, and we figure those things out. Maybe that's where you are. If you're reading that online, you can get there, but I'm just going to walk it to you this way. You see, it says that all of us are this way. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You see, I don't see that there's anything that we did to earn God's grace there. It says that we have redemption through his blood, through Christ and Christ crucified. And so maybe right now we're reading this message, and maybe the whole reason Jesus has you watching this today isn't because you're unproud to be an American. Maybe Jesus has you here today because you've never found that redemption. Your whole life you've tried it your way, you've fought hard, you've been a good tax-paying American, you show up to work every day, you work hard, you do everything right, and yet it seems like it's going so, so wrong. You've tried the 12-step programs, you've tried everything, you've tried the get-rich-quick schemes, you've tried to get the promotion, you've tried pleasing people, you've tried to wrap yourself in your career, you've done everything that you can to get it right, and you still don't have peace, you still don't have hope. And it's because you haven't experienced the redemption that is Jesus Christ. And so today, with everyone here, and maybe you're watching online, I just want to challenge you that I want you to know you only have redemption through Christ and Christ crucified. The only way that your sins can be forgiven is through Jesus. And right now, maybe you're feeling your heart beat out of your chest. Maybe you're just in this place to where you have nowhere else to turn and you're looking for the answer. And I'm telling you, the answer is Jesus. There's nothing else. There's nowhere else you can turn to have hope. He is the hope that you are searching for. And the way that you do that is you believe he is who he says he is. You believe that you find redemption only through his blood, that your forgiveness of sins can only be found from him, and you have him take over your life. You confess him as Lord, and you believe that he died for your sins. So we're about to have a prayer here in a minute. It's not the words of these prayer that get you saved. It's the faith that you can only have redemption through Christ and Christ crucified. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, in this moment, I just want to ask you, is that where you are? We've talked about how great it is to have Jesus. We've talked about how we're ambassadors of Christ. We've talked about how we're a holy, chosen people. We talk about how we have power in the Holy Spirit. We've talked about how we can be a picture of the future. But here's the thing. Your future without Christ only leads to death. The one thing that each and every one of us have in common in this room, online, or wherever you are right now is all of us are sinners. The difference is some of us have trusted Christ as our Lord, that he is who he says he is. And the rest of us have a decision to make. And so today is your day. This prayer we're about to pray is you saying with faith that Christ is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we don't pray alone in this house. I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you died for my sin. You rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step, the best way I know how, the rest of my life. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're watching online or maybe you're here in the house, I'm just going to ask you, if that's the first time that you've declared with faith that Jesus is who he says he is, he is your righteousness, he is the one that died for your sins and rose again on the third day, he is the one who has come to take over your life so that you can have eternity with him, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. This is your moment. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, don't delay, don't wait. Don't be ashamed of it. There are people who want to celebrate with you. If you're watching online, there's a way that you can contact us. Maybe you're at the coffee shop in the middle of the week and you just need to talk to somebody about that. We want to celebrate with you. You can reach out to us at hello@thevine.tv or shoot us a text or a phone call at 864-580-6698. And for everyone else in the room, we're about to pray and get ready to go about and have an awesome week and chase after the 167. we can't wait to share with you what that means later. Maybe you're just in a place right now that you know Jesus, but you're just struggling, and you need to talk to somebody about it. You can come hang out with us in the garden after the service. We'd love to talk with you. If you're not here in person, once again, hello@thevine.tv or prayer@thevine.tv. We have people who would love to pray with you and walk with you through this. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to pick those up instead. And we don't pray alone, so everybody put their arm around somebody in this house. If you did that with your head bowed and eye closed, you're awesome. That's great. But if not, that's cool too. So all of us, we're going to pray here at the end, and we're going to go have an awesome week. So dear Jesus, thank you for each and every person here. God, thank you for worship today. Thank you for allowing us to grow. Thank you for allowing us to be a picture of the future that is you. Thank you that we get to point people to you. Jesus, it's amazing that you let us live in a time such as this where we have the freedom of speech and what is the greatest country in the world right now. But Jesus, we're not here just to be American. We're here to point the world to you. So let us in the midst of these moments remember that we were bought with a price, that we are a chosen people. We are not common. We are royal, Jesus. Let us remember the power that comes only through the Holy Spirit, dear God. Let us be you to the world. When we get caught talking about our politics, it's not that they aren't important, Jesus, because we believe that you can help us choose who you would have. But it says no matter what, you've ordained the leaders that have taken over the world and the country, dear God, and we pray for them daily, but more importantly, we pray for every opportunity that you put in front of us, that we would do everything we can to make your name more famous. So, dear Jesus, let us go chase after the 167 this week. We love you, and it's your name we pray. Amen. Hope you can join us next week. We continue our series. Alex will be preaching with us. We'll have a full band again, so maybe you would love to see that. Come hang out with us. Have a great week.